Tonight is about each other. Tonight is about relentless football. And anything about to touch the football, they get knocked out tonight. Let's do what we do best on three. One, two, three.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome, Ravens Nation. It's Super Week. Welcome to Super Week. It's time for the Super Bowl in Nolens. Baltimore Ravens, they're already flying. They're already there. The week is about to begin. Welcome to the call. Of course, I'm at Brando Cash on Twitter. Joining me, as always, you know him, you love him. It's Mr. Josh Murr. What's going on, man?
What's going on, Brandon? Super Bowl week, Baltimore. We've arrived. And I'm not live on Bourbon Street, but like, how about Pratt Street? Does that work?
You know what? I'm fine with Pratt Street. I think that's a good place to party. And there was quite a party downtown earlier today with the Ravens send-off where hundreds and hundreds of fans came out to see these guys off. And it was a really special event if you got to see it on TV or if you were lucky enough to go down there, if you were able to get off work. The Ravens came downtown. They said a few words to the crowd. Then they got on the buses and they got to BWI and flew down to New Orleans. But what love this city has for their Baltimore Ravens. So many people out there. I don't know if you saw this, and let's talk about this a little bit. But we had hundreds and hundreds of fans at the Inner Harbor to see these Ravens off. And I heard that there were a couple dozen, maybe, 49er fans in San Francisco to see their team off. So heading into this game right now, I got to say the Ravens, at least on fan participation, they kind of got the 49ers beat on that.
We beat everybody. Not only just 49ers, but just take a second here. I've talked to many, many fan bases. Obviously, we're near Philly. Pittsburgh fans are everywhere, and there's Skins Nation down a little south, and we're in that pocket. You know, there's Giants, there's a lot of fans, Giants, Packers fans, you name it, they're over here. And they talk to us, and they're like, when you guys do Purple Fridays, they don't do that in any other city. I actually work with an Eagles fan. He's like, you guys take it to another level with your Purple Fridays, wearing your jerseys to work, paint the town purple. I mean, I was in Falls Point this week. Dude, guys, this is awesome. Get this. The Lake Mason building is lit up purple, and the Under Armour sign on the Under Armour building downtown, that's lit up purple. It's just they take it to another level. And you're right. I heard that even Harbaugh said that they didn't have any fans out there to send them off. And here, it just shows you the appreciation we have for this team. And I just can't believe that the NFL would not, or they were thinking about not giving us back a team. And I remember the whole thing down when Jacksonville got a team before we did, and look how successful we are. And it's just showing you the support between the city and the team and the fans. It's just, we're all one. And when we say we, it's truly a we, and I'm glad to be a part of the we here.
Absolutely. You know, these guys, I think it was a great send-off. Every single one of the Ravens you could see was on stage. He was either taking video of the crowd or he was tweeting saying how pumped he was and how everybody was so into seeing everything off and how passionate Baltimore is. And Baltimore is definitely a great football town. But we got the Super Bowl coming up, and it's a place where I think a few fans, they kind of lost faith halfway through this season. It's definitely been an up-and-down season, and hopefully the game on Sunday isn't going to be like an up-and-down game. Hopefully the Ravens are able to come at the 49ers, and hopefully it's going to be a hard-hitting, a special game, because that's how Ravens really succeed. They participate in games where they're the underdogs and where they're not actually favored, and they got something to prove.
You're right. We thrive on that. If you look at how I want to really go back and look on the Ravens' record when they were favored, when they were not favored, and really, and especially in the big-time games and seeing where they really thrive. But you're right. The Mets down in 2000 were always the underdog, even when they were playing the Giants in Super Bowl 35. They were the underdog mentality. No one gave them a chance. I mean, Terry Collins threw 5 touchdowns in the NFC title game that year, and everybody was talking about the Giants' high-powered offense, and we didn't even allow a single offensive touchdown. And speaking of that, 2000 Ravens team, I want to shout out to everybody, and Brandon, to you. I want to say happy anniversary, man, because I don't know if you know this, but today we're recording the show for everybody. It is January 28th. You know what that means? January 20, 2001 is the date of Ravens Super Bowl 35. I don't know if anybody's actually taken in the fact that, but how incredible is that? Ravens make it Super Bowl 47. We start Super Bowl week with the anniversary of our first championship. How great is that?
That's pretty amazing stuff. You know, it's a lot going on in the city, and it's pretty amazing. And, you know, good. I'm glad that you were able to point that out. You got a little history lesson there for everybody listening. And hopefully we're giving Ray Lewis, you know, his second Super Bowl ring, and we're sending him off into retirement the right way. But before we get, you know, really deep into this game, I want to bring up something I found rather hilarious. I don't know if you watched Saturday Night Live, but they had a quick little skit with Keenan making fun of Ray Lewis, dressing up like Ray Lewis on Weekend Update. I don't find a lot of things on Saturday Night Live that funny anymore, but I thought this skit was great.
It was. I actually didn't see it because me being a sports fan, I was actually watching sports on Saturday night till like 1 in the morning, so I didn't really... Usually I do watch Saturday Night Live if I'm bored on Saturday night. Not that I don't go out, but when I don't go out... It's obviously, I watch Saturday Night Live sometimes, it's nothing to them. But anyway, besides that, you're right. I actually didn't see it. Everybody, the buzz was Sunday morning was, did you see the skit? Did you see the skit? Oh my God, I can't believe you didn't see the skit. I said, what skit? I pulled that thing up on YouTube and online, and oh my God, I cannot stop laughing. Brandon, it was epic. I mean, when he said after the game he was going to send into heaven from the 50-yard line, I looked at my buddy and I started laughing. I said, you know, he probably would do that for because it is God's linebacker, number 52. But how incredible is that even Saturday Night Live was taking part? I mean, he even had the eye black down. And just the way it was just great, and they were making fun the way he talks. I mean, I wouldn't say really not make it fun, but they're really, I show it as a thing of respect. Even Mickey of 98 Rock does it, and I tweeted him that he has the best Ray Lewis impression when he gets down with that voice. And I think, like I said, I don't think it's really poking fun at Ray because you can't really poke fun at greatness. I think it's just we're having fun at his expense because we can, and it's a fun thing to do. And it was a great skit. It was great, and it was just great to see that even Saturday Night Live was even getting in on the Super Bowl party fun, and I was just overall great. So, fans, if you haven't seen it, it is a great watch, and I would suggest get on it because it's pretty great.
Yeah, if you haven't seen it yet, then you're really not a true Baltimore Ravens fan because that got shared like crazy all over Facebook. My favorite part of that skit is where he kept talking about the eye black, and he's like, I can't get this paint off my face, so... I absolutely love the skit. Right. I thought that was great. And you know, like you said, it's not making fun. Pretty much, if you get made fun of on Saturday Night Live and you kind of get a parody of yourself, then you really made it. So
you're right. Even Peyton Manning on that was pretty funny.
Yeah.
I mean, he was making fun of himself. I mean, people do that all the time.
Yeah, it's an okay thing to do that on Saturday Night Live. So I'm glad that they did that. Something else that really made me laugh, and let me know if you saw this too, Ed Reed, I got to say, I think he should stick to football and shouldn't take up a singing career because he got to send the Ravens off. He was the last person with the microphone at the send-off, and he was singing, I've got two tickets to paradise. I don't see him going very far in American Idol. I don't know about you.
You know, that was pretty funny, and it brings me back for that Any Money commercial, because I always, that commercial comes on, man, and I'm like, that commercial is so stupid. But Any Money's got some good hits out there. I mean, you can't go wrong with some Any Money, but, and speaking of that, instead of taking me home tonight, I think we're going to take him to the championship this weekend, but, yeah, I think it's pretty funny. Ed Reed's having fun with it, and how special is that to him when Ray... And not taking away spotlight from Ray and the team and everybody, because obviously this is Ray's last football game, but I'm really trying to get emotional about that because just thinking about that's making me well up, and that's just greatness itself. But how about Ed Reed, his own story, like Ray did in 2000 when he went back to Tampa, Florida, right near his hometown, and full circle with his. And Ed Reed, 11-year veteran, deserves it all. He deserves a ring more than any other, probably other Raven on there. And how about he going back to New Orleans? And that's the whole thing he kept talking about all week was, I'm going back home. He was so excited, and I even saw the outpouring of emotion, of joy. After the AFC title game in the locker room, I saw the first hand, he just broke down. It was incredible to see. And I had to feel good for him. I think he's just really, really overjoyed, and who wouldn't be for the whole team, not only every, but the 53 mighty men of Baltimore who are just loving every minute of it. But like they said, this is a business trip, and New Orleans is all about Bourbon Street. I mean, Mardi Gras put on hold. Bourbon Street's most famous streets in the USA, and it's just known as Party Town, Party Central, and Super Bowl parties are getting full force all week, that the Ravens got to keep that in mind, too, that, yes, this is excitement, but they've said all week, they know what's at stake, this is a business trip, and they've been handling the such, and so far, I've been pretty impressed with the team, and just how great it was with the send-off. You know, they were taking off stride, being joyous, and right, Ed Reed, man, he's those two tickets to paradise, man. Hey, he can sing all he wants because we're the AFC representative at the Super Bowl, and I'm loving every minute of it, so I'm going to sing right along with him. Believe it or not, Brandon, I'm going to touch on the karaoke. It was 2008 AFC title game where the Ravens-Steelers faced off, and we would have went to Miami. I actually did a karaoke. You know the Will Smith Miami song?
Of course. Everybody does.
Hey, who won? That's one of the greatest songs ever. Well, I, being that we went out that Super Bowl weekend, and me and my friends, we did karaoke, and I twisted the words where, instead of saying, I'm going to Miami, I did the Ravens going to Miami, and I had the crowd respond back, we're going to Miami. So it was a joyous occasion. So I, too, have gotten the Ed Reed singing fever at one point or another, and it was pretty fun, I tell you the truth.
Well, you know what? It's going to be a lot of fun for if you're going down to New Orleans. It's a great town. I was lucky enough to go down there for a business trip last year, and I was filming a bunch of students at a local university here in Maryland. They go down there, and they help rebuild homes during spring break. So, because there's still a lot of homes that are affected by Hurricane Katrina, even though it's been a few years. But I was lucky enough to see some of the city and really got a feel for everything that's going on down there, and it is a fun town. It's a lot of fun, and just to think to have a place like that that's already, you know, a party town, and put the NFL and all of their stuff on top of it, it's going to be an amazing week. So if you're lucky enough to go down there and enjoy the show and actually get to go to the game, then I definitely envy anybody who's going down there. It's going to be a lot of fun. But anyway, so let's actually talk about the Super Bowl here. We've had a lot of fun prepping for it. We've had the send-off. The Ravens are in New Orleans right now. They're already doing press. But let's talk about the big game here. It's the Ravens. It's the 49ers. It's the Harbowl. It's brother versus brother. It's Ray's last ride. It's Flacco's chance to finally signify that he is the real deal, that he is one of the best quarterbacks in the league. For you, Josh, since you're the biggest sports fan that I know, what's the biggest key for the Ravens to come out with a win and with a Super Bowl win and be able to hoist the trophy at the end?
The biggest key right now, Brandon, fans, is being consistent and doing what they've done to all playoffs. They've elevated their play since they got all their healthy pieces back, and I think it's really doing what they do best, not turning over the football. Joe Flacco had zero, and I'll say it again, zero interceptions. He had that one fumble that really didn't hurt us in the one game, and you know, I have to say, taking care of the football. I remember Ray Rice in the one game, he had two fumbles in one game, and it's just, you just have to just realize that look what happened when we had Peyton Manning turn the ball over, when Tom Brady threw two picks. Bad things happen when the team turns the ball over. And you're going to win the game 99% of the time, more than 100% of the time, maybe, if you don't turn the ball over. And that's key right now for the Ravens, is being consistent, taking care of the football, playing that disciplined style of defense that they usually do. Don't give up the big plays. I think since the playoffs started, I have not seen a big play from this team or allowing they play on defense from this team, and it just, I have to applaud that, because how many times this year have we been getting bit by the big play over and over again? It's the game's close, and all of a sudden, I mean, look, you remember how the Broncos game went in the regular season game. Flacco took the team down there, they were first and goal. It was 10-0 at that point. It could be 10-3, 10-7. What happens? There was a pick six, took the air out of fans, the stadium, the team, and that was probably what was the most Flaccoing happened. And that turning the game around, that was a 17-point swing, and here you go. And if you look at things that happen in that, it's simple. I'm going to keep the game plan simple. Just keep doing what you're doing. Don't listen to the outside distractions. Don't listen to the underdog or the spread. Just go out there, take care of business, play Raven football, play like a Raven, play mentally sound football, and I think this team will they're going to do as well as any team out there, and they're going to exceed the expectations. They're going to prove all the naysayers wrong, and they're going to come out with a second Super Bowl title. So I'm tell you that.
That's what I want to hear. And everything that I just mentioned earlier, the Horror Bowl, Ray's last ride, Joe Flacco, I think what the team has to do, the most important thing that they have to do is they have to take all that drama that the NFL loves about these kind of big games, take all that drama and just throw it away. You can't think about this. You can't think about, I need to make this play for my coach, for Ray, for Joe. You can't think that. You got to think, I need to do this for my team. I need to get this done. I need to focus on my job at hand. And I think keeping it simple and keeping it like that, that is the absolute key to this game. I think that they have to worry about themselves and worry about, you know, if somebody does make a mistake, being able to step right up and take the football and take it down the field. You know, you have to do that. There's two players. I've done this the last couple games, and there's two players that I'm hoping have the game of their career. And let me know if you think it's kind of crazy I'm calling these two guys out and saying this is who I'm looking for to have a big game. On offense, I'm thinking Vonte Leach. He has to have a great game. He has to make those holes for Ray Rice to get down the field. He's really got to do his absolute best. And the guy on defense, he's a guy that we've talked about the entire season. He's been up, he's been down, but he's been up most of the time. Kerry Williams. The guy knows when to make an interception. He's the guy who you need in those clinch plays that completely either end the game or turn the game over into a completely different game than what we were watching just a second ago. So those are the two guys that I'm focusing on and that I hope have the biggest game of their careers.
I can agree with those because you're right. In order for Ray Rice to get the penetration, and you really can't compare last year's and all that, but you remember it's pretty much the same defense, but if you remember the matchup with the 49ers on Thanksgiving night, that was a great game. Ray Rice couldn't find a hole to run in, and you just have to look at that and understand that Vontae needs to create those, and some of the big Ray Rice runs we've seen, they've shown Vontae Leach gets in there and blows a blocker up, and they showed it in the playoffs where he's had some key blocks on some key runs with not only Ray Rice for creating holes for Bernard Pierce and just really getting that extra push, that extra block, that extra half a second or whatever Ray or Bernard needs to get through the holes or get outside the tackles and get off tackle on the sidelines. And you're right, it is Kane Carey on to step up in the absence of Lidarius Webb. And we have Corey Graham on the other side who's doing a phenomenal job right now. He's just carrying the secondary with the interceptions he's had. And even with Kerry Williams intercepting it in the home game we had in the wild card, these two guys are just doing phenomenal in the corners. I think when the season started, we had Jimmy Smith and Lidarius Webb. And, you know, Webb's an all-pro, Pro Bowl corner. And we know what he's capable of. When he went down, he kind of changed things around him. Corey Graham's just doing it phenomenally. I wish I could give this guy a high five for his effort. He's been playing out of his mind. And Kerry Williams, you're right, needs to step up. And I think this is where the secondary comes intact because with Pollard and Reed back there laying the wood, I think this is where it comes in. Or they putting the lid on the big plays and they learn not to get burned on a double move. They've been very good in coverages and not really having those dumb pass interference calls. And I think it just shows all around that they've been playing disciplined football. And you're hearing me say that 100 times, but I'm just gushing about it because it's great. It's led this team and it's led our city to celebrate a Super Bowl berth, and it's probably one of the greatest things I've ever seen. And just seeing how it's all coming together with the team playing, I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, and not only to point these two guys out, I mean, obviously we have to put some keys in there, but the whole team itself has got to play. Flacco's got to keep doing what he's doing, throw through 2-3 touchdown performance with no picks. I'm telling you right now, Joe Flacco does what he's doing in the playoffs. I'm calling it right. Actually, we're going to call it right now. I want you to name your MVP, but I'm calling it right now. I think Joe Flacco is going to be the MVP of the Super Bowl, and how about that for a story?
I got to agree with you. I think Joe Flacco gets it. If the NFL wants to go with Flacco, and maybe they'll go with, you know, Ray Lewis because this is his last game, that is a chance, but I would like to see Joe get it. Joe has had an up-and-down season. We had, you know, there was an actual thing in this season called Flaccoing where it was, you know, laying face down in the dirt, kind of like what happened with Joe during the Broncos game during the regular season. And I didn't like seeing that because I knew Joe was better than that. I knew that he was a good quarterback. And even in the offseason, our good buddy Glenn at WNST, I had Joe on for an interview, and he had his words kind of misconstrued in the media, but he pretty much said, I think I am the best quarterback in the league, and no one ever brought this up, but he also followed up, I think every quarterback has to think that. So it's not like he's trying to say he's better than everybody else, but he says, if you don't think that you're the best quarterback in the NFL, then there's something wrong with you. And I agree with him on that. But it's always been, is he good? Is he not good? This,
right.
That, whatever. The guy
is personal.
Yeah. The guy has shown that he's worth the money that he's earning, and he's worth more than the money he's earning since it's a contract year. But he's taken this team to the Super Bowl with Ray Lewis going. In a lot of press conferences, Ray said that Joe is the new general, that he is handing him off this team and saying, you're the guy that's got to show him what to do. And I think Joe has done that. Look at what they've done, on offense. They've changed things around on offense, and Joe has been the guy to get the offense moving. He's the guy that the offense looks to, and you have to do that as a quarterback. So I think Joe absolutely deserves to be an MVP. And I hope with all my heart that he's going to get it. I think he is. We'll talk about that a little bit later. I don't want to give too much away, but I think that Joe is going to have another game of his life. And Joe is definitely going to be key here. I mentioned the two guys that I mentioned because I think that they're guys that a lot of people don't talk about. They don't look for those two guys to make big plays. But for me, Kerry Williams and Vontae Leach are the guys that are going to make big plays that are going to change the momentum of the game.
Right. And just changing the guard, you're right. I mean, even with the postseason Ray's having with coming back from the injury, he's led the team with 44 tackles in these three games, and that's unheard of with a linebacker at his age. But we embrace him, Baltimore, as we know what he's about. And with Ed Reed playing at a high level, too, and he's not really giving up his big plays as he normally does. And I'm really excited to see what he can do. And I think this is the game where Ed Reed finally gets a pick in the postseason. You know how good the quarterbacks are, especially the elite quarterbacks we faced, on staying away from Ed Reed. I don't think Kaepernick has a answer for that. I think he's going to play right in his hands, and Ed Reed's going to bait him in an interception, maybe two. I'm going to call this one. Ed Reed does get a pick in this game. And I just see that happening. For everybody's talking to – I even read something. They're talking to 49ers up, Brandon. I don't understand this. And maybe I had the purple Kool-Aid drinking. Maybe I had the purple goggles, and I always will. This is our team, our city, our Ravens. But – correct me if I'm wrong here, but I just don't see that how the 49ers are a better team on paper, and I've heard some of the media members say that nationally, and I'm just like, how? You know, obviously Flacco is hands down a better quarterback and has a better experience and the resume to prove other than Kaepernick. Yeah, Flacco don't run like Kaepernick, but I just don't see it. You know, if you compare the middle linebackers, you both were 52. Obviously, Patrick Willis is the younger of the two, but obviously with Ray and what he's done, I'm going to have to take Ray. If you look at the safety, Ed Reed gets the cake. You just look, yeah, they might have us on the defensive line, I think, with Justin and Alden Smith. But I just don't see it. Well, even the running backs, I mean, I would think maybe 2 or 3 years ago Frank Gore would have been better, but I've seen him on the decline a little bit, and I would take Ray Rice. This is what I just don't see. I'm just not understanding that. And I don't know if you have any input on that or seen that, but I'm going to say shocked. I'm just like, it just makes me laugh how the national media doesn't look at the Ravens' body of work and go, look what they did. Everybody still thinks their Jacoby Jones touchdown's lucky, but here's the thing. There was a mental collapse in the Broncos secondary that led to that, so the other team had to have a play in that. It wasn't luck. You know, luck's turning a card on the river in a poker tournament, and I escaped that one. I had three cards to go, and I got one out of three in the deck. You know, there's some luck involved there where Flacco made that throw. You know, Flacco underthrows that, overthrows that, that catch don't happen. So I don't think they're just giving us the credit we deserve, and I'm fine with that. But they'll all see on Sunday.
Yeah, you know, I like the fact that the Ravens are the underdogs. They kind of feed off of that. And I think that the 49ers are a great football team. And, you know, Coach Harbaugh, he had to make some changes halfway through the season. And he's got to be happy with those changes because now he's in the Super Bowl. The 49ers are a good team. Are they better than the Ravens? We'll see on Sunday. But as a Ravens fan, I got to say no. I got to say that, just look at the quarterback situation. This is a perfect example. Joe Flacco has more experience than their quarterback. And yes, I understand that the NFL is a fast, big game. I mean, it is a lot faster than it used to be. And that's why I think they love this quarterback in San Francisco. He's fast and he does run. They like those kind of quarterbacks. Joe's not a big runner. Even though Joe got a first down the last game that he played, He's not a runner. He's a guy that throws the ball or hands it off, but he has the tools. You know, that's why he doesn't have to run. He has Ray Rice. He has, you know, all these different guys that he can throw to. So just comparing quarterbacks, you got to give Joe Flacco and the Ravens the upper hand on this.
Well, what about this? Just speaking about running backs, Ravens did do it this Vic, but I'll tell you what the New Orleans Saints did. What happened to Michael Vick this year? You know, he got hurt. What happened when the Ravens played RG3? Granted, the Redskins didn't beat us, but RG3 didn't make that last-second throw. And that's all put to bed because, obviously, the Redskins didn't win in the playoffs and we're in the Super Bowl. So, hi, Redskins Nation, how you doing? But what happened when RG3 took off? What did the Hood and do? He hurt his knee. What happened when they played in the playoffs? He hurt his knee some more. So you can thank the Baltimore Ravens for that. And his you got to slide. If you're running quarterback, you know Hood and Nada, Ray Lewis, Ed Reed coming after you. You better slide. Charles Suggs is going to break your ankles in half. It's just, you just have to recognize that he has not played a defense like this. You have to understand this. The 49ers were 11-4-1, okay? One of those four losses was the Rams, and that tie was the Rams. Apparently, they play in what's so-called the weakest division in the NFL, with the NFC West and the Seahawks, which are up-and-coming, and Russell Wilson and company. And then you got, you know, the Cardinals, who started 0-4-0, and they just fell off the map, like, who knows what happened. And then you got the Rams, who are sort of an upcoming team floating around 500. And you just have to look at that the Rams beat them and tied them. And you look at the Ravens' body of work, their losses, I would say their losses were to legitimate teams. You know, the Redskins were a playoff team, and the Redskins were hot at that moment, and we weren't. And that started, it was in the middle of our three-game slid. The Steelers at home played us great, and we just took Charlie Bash for granted, but what happened to the Steelers, they didn't make the playoffs, so who cares? And you just have to look at those losses, and I don't even count the Bengals loss because it was technically a preseason game because we already were in the playoffs, we already clinched the division, we already had our destiny set, the home playoff game is resting people, and it turned out great because obviously we're in the Super Bowl. So I just remember that week all fans were clamoring, oh my God, your special players are going to be resting. Like, shut up, you know? Harbaugh and this team knows what they're doing. Now, obviously, they're in Super Bowl because they know what they're doing. And just look at that. And this is what the Ravens do to running backs. They didn't get to Michael Vick. They sometimes give us fits. But overall, I don't think it's a good game plan against the Ravens.
No, you know, it is something kind of scary to talk about with running quarterbacks. They didn't have the greatest track record, but you bring up great points. When they went against Michael Vick and went against RG3, guys like that, you know, it was when the Redskins were hot. It was when, you know, the Ravens were kind of losing in the offensive system, and they knew that a change had to be made. So I don't know how to explain it. I think that, yeah, this quarterback, he's good. He's not great. And I think that with this defense, you mentioned Haloti Ngata and Terrell Suggs. You know, Ray Lewis did not go against RG3. So that's another thing that you got to think about with a running quarterback. There's a lot of tools. We have a lot of tools. I've said it time and time again that this team
has. And Suggs was on the field for Philadelphia.
Right, exactly.
So you have to discount those things, and we forget about those.
Exactly. This is a different team than what we started with because. Up until the playoffs, Ray Lewis and Haloti Ngata and Terrell Suggs never shared a field. So
No. That
was something to think about. And we have a rising star in Paul Kruger. So the defense, I don't think this is something to worry about. People are saying it's a shaky defense.
And Flacco's been playing out his mind, too.
Absolutely. Flacco knows when to turn it on. Flacco knows when he's in the postseason and knows when there's a big game and when it's on the line. That's why we call him Joe Cool, because he's cool under pressure. So I think you gotta worry about a running quarterback, but at the same time you gotta rest assured that these guys know what they're doing on the defense, and it's a lot of muscle and a lot of big guys, and plus you got guys like Bernard Pollard who will just hit anybody, you know, and take anybody out, whoever catches the ball. So there's plenty of tools on this team to get us through and get a win in the Super Bowl. But at the same time, let me just say this. I don't want to, you know, count my chickens before they hatch, okay? I don't want to act too cocky or anything at the Super Bowl, because it seems like when we do that, especially when it was like the Steelers with their third string quarterback, you know, it didn't come out the way that we wanted. So I want this team to be considered the underdog. I want this team to prove that they still got something left. And the only way they're going to show that they're the best is to win the Super Bowl. And I think that's what they want to do.
That's exactly what the goal is. And you're right. You know, no one really gives us credit in that. And I tweeted this a little bit earlier, and speaking of that and discounting credit, I want to take a jab at some Flacco haters here. And this was a sight to see. And this was, Brandon, this is finally when it stuck in that the Ravens are in the Super Bowl. Like, I remember all week, it was just, it's surreal. I was wearing my AFC Championship hat, and I'm just like, yeah, we won. But it didn't really set in, like, the team's going Baltimore, we're not there. But when they touched down in New Orleans, and everybody's reporting live, and I saw our symbol next to the Super, our logo next to the Super Bowl symbol, and it was just, wow, you know, this is it, man. We're covering a Super Bowl, we're enjoying as fans. And I'm going to tell you this, Flacco haters, nothing made me smile more than to see a certain image on the Superdome today. They showed live look into the stadium. I've yet to lay eyes on the Ravens' end of the end zone. But Flacco's image was on Flacco's image was on the Superdome. It wasn't Ed Reed. It wasn't Ray Lewis. It wasn't Ray Rice. Joe Flacco is on the Superdome. So just take that in for a minute that, you know, I'll give him one more game to prove it. I don't care. You know, the dude's been playing out of his mind. And his image is on the Superdome on the one side. And how incredible is that, Ravens fans? How incredible is that to see Joe Cool on the side of the Superdome? I just think it's incredible. I love it.
I love seeing Joe Flacco there. You know, it's where he deserves to be. He's an amazing quarterback. We just talked about that, and he absolutely deserves to be in this game, and he's got something to prove. He's got a chip on his shoulder as well, and that's why he fits in so perfectly with the Ravens system here. So absolutely great to see Joe on the Superdome. But you brought this up a little bit ago. I want to bring this up to you. We talked about the Thanksgiving game. And the Thanksgiving game last year was a very strange game because the 49ers, they played a good game, but it looked like the Ravens kind of had like an easy night that night. And it seemed like, again, like they had something to prove because they were given this Thanksgiving time slot. So they wanted to show how they play football. So how do you think this team is going to differ from the team that we saw on Thanksgiving? Because to me, I always put this into factor here. When a West Coast team comes to the East Coast or vice versa, it's hard to adjust at that time. So you gotta put travel as a factor into why a team may or may not perform well. But this time around, we got the 49ers and the Ravens on neutral ground in New Orleans. They've been there a day longer than Baltimore has. So how is this team, how are the Ravens going to prepare differently for this team?
I think they're going to prepare differently. There's obviously under center. You know, the quarterback isn't Alex Smith. It's Colin Kaepernick. But for the most part, the team has stayed relatively the same. Michael Crabtree's still there. Frank Gore's still there. Their defense is still intact. David Akers still there. Now, I think the only changing of the guard, they added veteran Randy Moss, who really has been a non-factor this year. And they added Super Bowl MVP. Well, I don't know if he's MVP or not. Correct me if I'm wrong. But Mari Manningham. Of Giants fame last year. So it's just, if you think about this kind of things, the team hasn't changed. It's just, I would say, obviously the venue matters because we were at home, and I was at that Thanksgiving night game. It felt like a playoff game. We were loud. It was crazy. It was energetic. Obviously we'll have fans down there, but it's not going to be the same atmosphere and feel the crowd. And so it's going to be the X factor there because in that game, he had one of the games of his life. He had a multi-sack performance. It was like 5 or 6 sacks. It was great. And he was wreaking havoc in the backfield. And you have to keep this in perspective. The game was only 3-3 at the end of the first quarter. So it was a tightly contested game. But we just had that one series where we just broke out and got the touchdown we needed. And the rest is history and won 16-6. It was a great football game. It was a game with two hard-nosed defenses. They're kind of mirrored each other. And this is why this game is pretty exciting this weekend, because it's not these flashy offenses. It's get down and dirty, and it's going to be laying the wood on defenses, and these defenses don't mess around. You got the Smiths. You know, they're not brothers, but Auden and Justin Smith are just incredible, and Smith is coming off his own arm injury, just like Ray was. I think he tore his biceps. And it's just these guys are just all froze all around, and Frank Gore he's a fellow hurricane with Ray and all that, and it's just going to be exciting to see that it's going to be a good game. I mean, they kind of mirror each other. You know, they got some premier runners. I mean, Flacco gets you as a quarterback. They got premier players on defense. They got some playmakers because Michael Crabtree is a playmaker. On the offensive side, I'm telling you, can't take this guy for granted because he's their third down guy. I've looked, and he's got most of his catches on third down. So they look to him in big plays. Obviously, the Ravens probably knew that for their game plan, but just look out for Michael Crabtree on third and long or third and shorts, and just they got to get a lid. And Vernon Davis, he's a Maryland Terrapin. We all know what he can do, and he's just a beast all around. So we have our own great tight end, Dennis Pettis. So really, if you look at it, these teams are just it isn't even that across the board. This game could be a three-point game, a seven-point game, or it could just be a blown wide-open game. If we get the Kaepernick and he makes a couple mistakes, it could be over. So it's kind of one of those games that's really hard to pick because, you know, I really had to look at the Niners and see some of their games and watch how they play. And that's the thing about it. That's what the fun and the beauty of it. You know, breaking down this game and this matchup in the Super Bowl because we haven't seen them. They're not an AFC opponent. They're not a divisional opponent where we know them very well. And this is a Ravens-Steeler game where we can break it down and we all know what they can do. It's just going to be very interesting to see how they match up. But like I said again, going back in the beginning, the Niners offense has not seen a defense like this, and we're all healthy. Telling you. You got Terrell Suggs, Ray Lewis, Ed Reed, Haloti Ngata, Paul Kruger, Ellerby's playing great. I think the whole defense all around is playing great. And Pollard hitting, I'm telling you, this is going to be a good game. And that's going to be an X factor. Speaking of that, those helmet-to-helmet hits, we're going to have to watch those and see what gets flagged. I don't know what crew is calling the game, like it matters, but that's another key to the game is you just got to watch the big hits, watch the stupid penalties, and hopefully we can keep it in check and hit in that so-called strike zone. And let's see if it doesn't, you know, hurt us or burn us there.
Yeah, that's definitely going to be key. I think that's another thing that the Ravens really got to look for, and that's penalties. It was definitely a concern of mine in the Denver Broncos game that the Ravens would do all these great plays, and then, of course, there'd be a flag for, like, holding or for, you know, illegal use of the hands or what was the call? I don't even remember what it was, you know, where it was a guy's reaching and, you know, trying to choke people out and grabbing their throats and stuff like that. So it's something that's another key, I think, to this game is making sure the penalties stay down, make sure that a lot of stupid stuff isn't really taken and that, you know, we don't have a lot of like pass interference and stuff like that, something that's really going to hurt us. So, that, I think that's definitely something we got to worry about, but I think that's something that the coaches as well, they're going to work on and, you know, do whatever they have to do with this team. Cause who knows what they're looking at right now on tape, but From a fan's perspective, I think that's one of the biggest things to worry about.
It's going to be a thing to have to worry about, and just all around. You know, if they can take care of those X factors, I think it's going to be great. It's going to be great for us in the city, and we're going to be celebrating come Sunday night. And let's. What's your prediction for this game?
Oh man, I don't know. I think that this is going to be. I want it to be a close game, but I don't want it to be too much of a nail biter because I am going to a Super Bowl party, so I don't want to lose my dinner or anything like that, and you know puke it up or anything. But God, I think the Ravens, of course, I think the Ravens are going to win the Super Bowl against the 49ers, and I think it's going to be. Let me think. 27-17.
27-17. Wow. Good prediction. I'm going to get mine out there. That's pretty good, Brandon. I'm going to take a similar approach. I'll say 2013 Ravens.
2013, okay.
2013. I think it's going to. I might bite those. Like I said, we all don't know. Predictions are for the people just throwing out their things in the wind. Obviously, don't be putting your Vegas bets on our predictions here, fans. But I just think it's going to be a low-scoring defensive game because I think it's just looking at the matchup, like we already said, the two teams mirror each other, and I think it's just with these defenses, I think that's going to keep the scoring low. And I don't think it's going to be a low-scoring Super Bowl, not that we're about high-flying offenses, but it could be different. I mean, we only scored 20 points against New England. We won 20-13, so it might be something like that to where it could be 20-13, and they can get a touchdown to break it wide open late in the game like they did, and it can end up being a 15-16-point win. Who knows? Or Ravens to seal with a pick six. How special would it be to have the game of 7 points or so or 8 points or 9 points or around 10, and the Niners are driving to try to keep it a game? Wouldn't it be great to see a pick six by Ed Reed? That would be something special. Not you know, something special would be obviously to win the game, but that would just cap it. You know, and that might even give Ed Reed an MVP. Who knows? But whoever's going to be MVP, I think I hope the whole Ravens are MVPs and brings, heck, a Super Bowl championship, and let's not even get in a Rays last game. I ain't even gotten to take that in consideration, because what lost all in this is, you know, Ed Reed and Joe Flacco and the Ravens are in a Super Bowl, and oh my God, it's a crazy weekend. Here it is, already beginning part of the week, and we're getting closer to the day. And we've already said goodbye in Baltimore, and every game, everybody has their I was glued to the TV because it's 52, man. It could be his last game, and here it is. This is the last game on the biggest, greenest stage. And how, if you could write a story, how fitting is that? He announces his retirement. Seems like he knew what he was doing, because he stirred the pot and he knew something was at work here. And man, I guess Ray is truly God's linebacker, because God's smiling on him now, and this is it, man. And 52 is going to hang up the cleats, and I don't know if you've actually thought about that, but man, really, how'd that really come on your mind and impact you, man?
It's definitely something I always think about with Ray's last ride. Of course, any of the ads or anything like that have been around the town, it's always Ray Lewis, and he's the face of this entire team. He's an intricate part to this city. So it's going to be – I don't think it's truly hit me that he's retiring. I know it, and I know that this game is important to him and the entire team to win it for him, but I don't think it's really going to hit me until training camp next year or at the end of this year's summer, and not seeing 52 on the fields during a preseason game or at training camp or talking to the media. But as far as this game goes, he's an intricate part to this team, and he's more motivation. He's gonna give these guys great pep talks. He's going to be an example on the field, and I think he's going to give everything he has on the field on Sunday. It's not even like an option to him. That's what he has to do, because this is it. I mean, you remember, it's tragic, but if you remember before Michael Jackson passed away, his last tour was This Is It. And that's what it is for Ray Lewis. This is it. This is his last game as a player. And this is his last game as a Baltimore Raven, a city that has really embraced him and supported him throughout his good times and bad, and that absolutely loves him for it. But this is going to be it for him, and this Sunday is going to mean so much to him and for the city that you know embraced him so well. So I think that in the back of my mind, I know that this is it for him, and I know this is it, but it still doesn't feel like this is it yet. And I don't think any of us are going to feel it until training camp.
It definitely doesn't feel it, and we're going to get into that in the show. I don't know if we broke this news in the earlier shows. I would have to go back, or I can't recall. But if we did, I'm going to just reiterate this, that obviously this is the last game for the Ravens this year, and what a game it'll be. But we will have a proper tribute to Ray. We're actually going to do a whole Ray Lewis podcast tribute to number 52, the greatest ever. And we're actually going to, me and Brandon are going to go back and forth, share our thoughts about him. You know, we've seen him play and just really take it in and tribute to the greatness himself, right? And just giving back, you know, that'd be great if Ray actually listened to it one day, but just giving back to Ray, what he's given back to us, and the joy, and just to watch him play for 17 years and roam the sidelines, and his motivational speeches and his dance, and it's become a tradition, just like, you know, crab cakes in Baltimore. It's just, you can't start an NFL game in Baltimore without the dance, and it's going to be, I'm going to get choked up, man. It's going to be emotional seeing him do his last dance. Come the field, and I think that's going to be fitting. And I don't see any reason why they would introduce the offense versus defense. So I know they introduced the defense in 2000. I think with his last ride and his retirement, I think they're going to do it right. And I think any fan is going to be down there in person to see it, get on tape, because enjoy it. Because these things don't happen often, and you will be truly at his last dance. And we're going to actually do a tribute, a podcast to him, right? You know, his highlights, his speeches. We're going to throw speeches in there. Top 10 Ray Lewis moments. We're going to compile those. It's going to be great. Just want to throw that out there, fans. So we're going to have some good off-season treats coming on. We're going to have in the not the Jinx team, but we're hoping that we're going to be, you know, having a Super Bowl celebration show. It's going to be great, and I really can't wait to play. But I want to ask you, Brandon, getting away from that, is what are your plans for Sunday, man? What you got planned for the big day?
Well, what it's kind of been a tradition the last couple of years is there's this great little crab house on Bel Air Road in Overly named Skipjack's, and they have a big party. They have all you can eat, they have all you can drink, and they have oysters and shrimp and chicken and Maryland crab soup, and they bring in all these big TVs and everything for their dining room and their bar area. And I'm going to that. I went there last year, and it's a lot of fun. Last year, of course, wasn't the Ravens in the Super Bowl, so it wasn't as wild or crazy as I thought it might be. But this year, I'm expecting that place to be packed in purple and black, and I'm expecting it to be a huge crowd, rowdy crowd, and I can't wait for Sunday. And I've already taken off Monday afterwards because I know this is going to be such a fun day for everybody.
It's going to be an awesome day, and I don't know what I'm going to put this out there. I don't know what you're doing in the morning, or anybody for that matter, but I'm going to put this to you first, and then obviously our fans and listeners out there, I'm going to put this out there. Nobody is doing anything. I highly extend the invitation to attend one of these two times because there's going to be something special going on here, and I don't know if I should save the surprise or not, but I'm actually our church we go to. It's doing a Super Bowl service like they did last year. Last year, they did the NFL this year has a Super Bowl on CBS, but last year they did the NFL CBS presentation, like how they did, and they did a little message, like I'm trying to put in the words, like how the NFL today does it, like with Dan Shannon and Boomer, they all sit around and they break, like, they analyze everything. Well, this is how our pastors did it. They came out and they did the theme music, and they had the helmets of the two teams, and they did Seven Nation Army Live. It was great. But this year they're doing it, and they're doing the Sunday Night Football thing. They redid the words to the Faith Hill song. So it's going to be incredible, but I'm going to put this out there for anybody who wants to go. The service times are 9:30 and 11, but here's the kicker. There is going to be an epic, epic scene, and I'm part of the skit, and yours truly will be performing his own rendition of Ray's Last Dance. They're allowing me to do the Ray Lewis dance Sunday morning, and I want to put that out there. And it's going to be legit. Like, we got the music, the fog, and even the grass. So I didn't want to put that out there that I was doing it, but just for the intrigue of it and to get everybody out there, it's going to be fun. And for both service times, I will be doing the Ray Lewis dance.
And if people want to come and check it out and everything, should they just contact you, like, on Twitter or something to know,
yeah,
like, where to go?
Yeah, I'll contact on Twitter. Yeah, Brandon. You can contact me on Twitter. It's down at White Marsh. It's the church, is Central Christian Church, down off of Rossville Boulevard in the White Marsh, Nottingham area. But if anybody wants to go, they can either tweet me, phone me, text me, or you can look up on the web at, I think it's cclife.tv is the website. And you could put that out there, but not only for the Ray Lewis dance, but it's going to be a great time. We're going to have, like, Ravens highlights, and if you come, you can enter your name in to win a raffle for a free TV. So you can get a big screen TV just in time for Super Bowl Sunday if you're watching it at home. And last year, it was incredible. A friend of our family actually won a TV, so it was kind of great. You know, it was great to see, and not only for me doing the dance, but it's going to be a great environment to really, you know, just to get the day off right and just to start the day off great and a Ravens Super Bowl celebration. And as far as my plans are concerned, is I'm actually going to be back at our home base there up in Bel Air, and I've had some good things planned. I'm trying to get approved for a Ravens tent and cornhole outside. It's just going to be a ruckus good time, and I'm trying to get a big blow-up doll, so we're going to do it right, and we're going to have a ruckus good time. And I'm telling you what, I'm not going to be able to sleep Saturday night, to tell you the truth, man.
I know. I'm not gonna be able to sleep all week. You know, that's
all week. I've already started, and I even took off Friday. I tell you what, I'm gonna put this out there. I don't know if you're free, or if anybody's free, they can tweet me, call me, text me, or you, Brandon, new, your friends can call you, text you. But I'm trying to get a good group to go down to Fed Hill for Purple Friday night to start the Super Bowl celebrations off right. And I thought about doing it Friday better than Saturday because Saturday is the day before the big game, and I obviously have to be up early for, you know, to perform my end of the deal, but you know, I wanted to put that out there that I'm looking to go down to Fed Hill at our spot to you know, just have a little good time, you know, dance fever a little bit, and just really celebrate the Ravens Purple Friday and the season success, and just really enjoy it. And I want to do it in style, so I wanted to put that out there. If anybody's free, or if you're free, Brandon, we can get together details, but around, like, maybe, you know, early in the evening, like 8-9 o'clock, I'm going to try to see whoever wants to go. I already got a couple friends who are invited. They want to go. And we're going to do it right. And then Saturday, I was thinking about doing something minor, maybe going down to Baltimore for a nice dinner. So I don't know. I'm just throwing some ideas out there that if anybody's free this weekend, we want to start the Purple Celebration off right. I've already started. I've worn purple to work every day this week already, and it's getting epic. So we're going to do it right. I want to take this in, savor it. So I'm putting it out there, man. Let's do a call celebration, Purple Friday style downtown. What do you say?
That sounds pretty awesome, man. Of course, we have to have a whole purple week, a whole purple weekend to get ready for this. Purple all over the place. I love seeing it. This city is just decked out in all kinds of purple. I love it. Have we covered everything for this Super Bowl edition of the call?
Did we cover everything? If not, but I think Ed Reed's got 2 tickets to paradise. Whoa, whoa, whoa.
All right, that's awesome, man.
I had to get my rendition.
Of course, if you're a Ravens fan and you want to talk a little bit more Ravens, even after we're done, you can follow me on Twitter, @BrandoCash. We're always talking about Ravens, all other kinds of stuff. Josh, he's on Twitter, too. Where can people follow you at?
They can follow my craziness at ItalianGQ52.
That's cool, man. If you're on Facebook, go over to facebook.com/BrandoCash. Like the Brando Cash Network. We've got plenty of shows, a lot of cool stuff coming up this year, and there's some stuff I can't tell you about yet, but I'm so excited. Can't wait for this stuff to go off. Like us over there. We get all the information about this show and all the other shows, like What the Puck? Hockey's back. The Capitals finally won a game. So, go like What the Puck, and you can listen to our shows there. And
isn't hockey this Sunday, too?
Yeah, every Super Bowl Sunday. I love this NHL tradition. Every Super Bowl Sunday, it's Penguins versus Capitals.
Oh, that's right. That happened last year. I remember that. Oh, here we go. I mean, it's not Baltimore-Pittsburgh, but it's the closest thing I guess this area has. But let's go Caps. I'm going to plug it in there, and that would be great to have been on early Super Bowl Sunday, get it day started right.
Super Bowl Sunday, we're going to have Baltimore win the Super Bowl, and we're going to have Pittsburgh lose in some way on Super Bowl Sunday.
Speaking of Pittsburgh, man, I hate to bring it up a bit, but did you hear about this Hines Ward thing?
What's that?
I heard today on NFL Network he was kind of pouty. I hate that smirk he does, but I was loving it. Apparently, he's a little jealous of Ray Lewis, man.
He's a little jealous? I would imagine he would be, yeah.
Well, yeah, me too. I mean, any Steeler would be jealous of his greatness or our success for that matter. But he's actually jealous how his career, if anybody wants to read up on it, I think the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette posted something. But he actually said to me, I'm laughing because this is just great. Because you know how much we hate Pittsburgh, and I hated his butt. He said he's seen how Ray went out. He's going out in Baltimore, and they're in the big game. And he's disappointed how his time ended in Pittsburgh. Wow, man, I started laughing so hard, so I had to throw that in there, speaking of Pittsburgh Penguins and all that. I thought that was kind of funny how we got the Steelers jealous of us already, man. This is great.
Well, they've always been jealous. They just never admitted it before.
Well, they know we're the better team. Yeah.
Of course. But, hey, I don't know how you're listening to the call. Thank you for listening no matter what. But just so you know, we're on Stitcher Smart Radio. So if you're an Android user, download the Stitcher app on your Kindle, on your Nook, on any Android phone, your Nexus, whatever is out there. Download it there. If you're on iTunes, go over to iTunes, search the call, click subscribe. Every time there's a new episode, it will get downloaded automatically straight into your iTunes, or if you have an iPhone, you can get the podcast app and subscribe on there, and they will be downloaded automatically straight to your phone without hooking up anything. To help out the call, all you got to do is leave us an iTunes review, or just tell people that you enjoy listening to the call. Go on to Facebook, go on to Twitter, go on to Pinterest, go on to Tumblr, go on to Instagram, go on to Vine, that new Twitter video app that's out there right now, and let people know that you're listening to the call, and that they should too, especially with it being Super Bowl week. The best way to enjoy this Super Bowl week is to enjoy the call talking Ravens football. Josh, I know you're going to send us out like you always do, but here's something special for you guys. Last couple weeks, we've been lucky enough to show up the creativity of Baltimore and a lot of great bands performing Baltimore Ravens songs. And this song is a little bit different than the stuff we've had in the past. This is a song that was nominated by Baltimore and it's called Purple Rage by Rome Apart. Now, what you can do is check these guys out on Facebook, facebook.com/RomeApart, romeapart.net, or on Twitter, @RomeApart, and you can download their stuff there. They're on iTunes. Right now, if you want to download this song, Purple Rage, go to romeapart.bandcamp.com, and you can download the song, and you can tell them, if you do tweet to them, if you do Facebook them or whatever, tell them you heard the song on the call, and let them know that you like what they're doing. But gotta love the creativity of Baltimore fans here. This is another great Baltimore Ravens anthem celebrating this team. So, Josh, this is it, man. Take us out like you always do. It's Super Bowl week.
Man, I'm pumped. First off, before I said this off, just piggybacking on what Brandon said about the local talent, it just shows greatness, man. I love it when the local fans just get to base their talents around the Ravens and just show the support. And what an incredible sound that is. And I can't wait to hear this. And just want to throw that out there. Everybody knows of the Bring On Brady parody, the Call Me Maybe. Well, the same group was at it again. I don't know if anybody's heard it, but they did the Some Nights song from Fun, and it basically just shows up the Ravens are ready for battle. And I don't know if anybody's checked that one out. But you can check it out on YouTube. It's everywhere. It's great. But Brandon, I appreciate bringing the local town on board, and we're collaborating, and hopefully we can have one of these guys performing live at another Super Bowl party one day or another. But I just want to extend to you, Brandon, too, is thanks for doing this inaugural podcast, man. This is what an incredible season, capping you off with Super Bowl 47. Who'd have thought? It's been a great ride. Great last ride. Telling your fans, thanks for listening, for all you do, following us on Podbean, iTunes, Stitcher Radio. Now we're on it. I appreciate it, and everybody asking us about the shows and congratulating us and commenting, and I really appreciate the support. Hopefully we just get bigger and better next season, but how about bigger and better? Let's go, Baltimore Ravens. Let's bring home a title to Charm City. Let's go. Fire it up. Baltimore Ravens, let's fly high in New Orleans.
production of the At Brando Cash Network.